It's time for the Rink Rats with your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. You know, Jesse, I did something when the Winnipeg Jets were eliminated from the playoffs and the Vegas Golden Knights won the Western Conference. I did something. I sent the link out for hashtag cup and one with sinbin.vegas that we did in January of this year. January. So the next time people want to say, oh, nobody saw this coming. Well, maybe not at the beginning of the year where you predicted that the Vegas Golden Knights would be 5-5 and then awful after that. Because suck it, Granger, you always get it wrong. Just like you were wrong about Ryan Reeves. We got that one right because the Vegas Golden Knights are playing for a Stanley Cup. They are 4 wins away from the Stanley Cup from a parade down Las Vegas Boulevard. And we had it first, January 15th, hashtag cup and one.
Hashtag Jesse was right.
Jesse was wrong? Jesse was wrong?
I was right.
You were wrong about them going 5-5. You were wrong about a multitude of other things. I think you had Marc-Andre Fleury as the first shutout, and that was wrong.
Ridiculous. What an awful prediction.
You're a bum.
What an awful prediction that was.
And then you were wrong about Ryan Reeves.
Was I?
Yes. How can you sit here right now knowing that his was the series-clinching goal?
His stick is going to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto.
Right, exactly. And at no point in that Winnipeg series did Ryan Reeves play outside of himself, selfishly. Did he run around, take dumb penalties? And he just came up with the biggest goal of the year for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
So you were wrong.
It took him 279 minutes.
Stop.
To register a goal.
279
minutes.
How many goals does Will Carrier have in these playoffs?
That would be 0?
Right. Yeah. Ryan Reeves
has great. It was a great tip.
Fantastic.
It was a great tip by Ryan Reeves. It wasn't one of those battling in front and it just happened to hit the like shaft of your stick tips. Because that happens all the time. But he saw the puck coming off Lucas Pisa's stick.
Yeah.
Reached up, deflected it right into the top corner. Like
right.
Very intentional. There was no luck or definitely no luck involved,
right?
Unless you ask Hellebuck, but
everything was lucky.
Pure skill. No, it was a great play by Reeves, and he was better. His post game antics were better than his goal, which was good.
The Scott Oak rub was it that or no?
No. I'm walking from the Golden Knights locker room, which in Winnipeg, the distance from the locker room to the room where the coaches press conferences,
yep,
is ungodly long. Like, I have no idea why they set it up that way, but they did. So I'm walking down this long hallway with, I just happened to be walking with Reeves and Fleury because they were the two players that got selected to talk at the podium. And Reeves has a pizza box in his hand.
Yeah.
All to himself. And he's just eating the pizza walking down the hallway.
You would too if you scored that big of a
course,
goal.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And he gets to the press conference room and they're like, he's trying to take the pizza box up to the, and they're like, Ryan, you can't bring the pizza box up there. And he's like, all right, well, I'm taking at least 2 pieces with me. So he grabs the 2 pieces, walks up to the podium. They've got nameplates there for him. He looks at the thing and goes, oh, my God, I can't believe they even had a plate for me.
It's like, Ryan, they just made it up right now.
Yeah. So then he's just sitting there getting interviewed by all the national media and eating pizza while he's doing it. And
fantastic.
Then someone asks him about scoring in his hometown of Winnipeg where he grew up and played for the Junior Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And he said being booed by Winnipeggers was the best moment of the season for him. So Ryan Reeves is so awesome.
Right. But are you going to admit now that he can play hockey?
I think this series is going to be a little different, this upcoming series. I want to see.
In what way? What do you think? Washington is going to be more physical?
No, less physical.
So you think it's a speed issue?
Yeah.
So you think Washington is a faster team than Winnipeg?
No. Okay. So I don't think Washington's top-end speed is as fast as Winnipeg's top-end speed.
Okay.
But I think Washington's slowest players are faster than Winnipeg's slowest players. Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying, yeah.
So I think I wouldn't say Washington is faster than Winnipeg because Winnipeg has guys that are faster than the Capitals.
Sure.
But I think Winnipeg also has some slow guys, whereas Washington overall doesn't have much
What you're saying is that Washington has speed on all four lines, where Winnipeg has speed on two and a half, and then you've got 2.5 where it's kind of plodding.
Yeah.
Not too crazy. I mean, I get it, but I still think that Reeves can play effective hockey.
So do I. Which is
a far cry from what you said, so games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So I was wrong about if you put him on the ice, he's going to ruin the game.
Yes!
Like, he's not going to ruin the game.
But Jesse was wrong.
I don't think Ryan Reeves is going to be like
he's the difference maker in game 5.
Yeah, he tipped that goal in.
You can never take that away from him.
Tomas Tatar is a guy that I liked that trade, right? So I was on the Tomas Tatar side, right?
Correct. Sure, yeah.
He has been a complete bum since coming to the Golden Knights.
Whoa.
He's been awful.
He scored goals.
No, every goal he scored up until that last one was complete luck.
No, the last one was luck too. Hellebuck should have gotten back to that post.
He fought through it and jammed it in.
He fought through it, but he made it harder than it had to be.
He did.
It should have been a one-time goal.
The point I was getting to is I've been on Tomas Tatar's side, and I will admit he has made no impact.
So you were wrong about Tatar.
Did he score a goal?
Yes.
That doesn't mean he had. Just because Ryan Reeves got a goal doesn't mean. Now, Ryan Reeves has been better than Tomas Tatar, which is insane.
But it's true.
And it's partly because Reeves has not made mistakes, and he's stopped playing Ryan Reeves hockey. Entirely stopped playing Ryan Reeves hockey.
I disagree with that.
And partly because Tomas Tatar has been a flaming pile of trash. Like, he has been bad.
Yeah, but Tatar can't play on the fourth line.
I feel so bad for Tatar. Why does he suck? He scores 20 goals every year.
I think you hit it right on the head. He doesn't forecheck.
Man. Yeah.
He can back check. He's got really high end talent, but he doesn't forecheck well. And I think you're absolutely right. I think if you can't forecheck on this team, you're not going to be able to find seams. You're not going to be able to find any type of chemistry with guys that bust their ass all the way down the ice. I think he'll figure it out, but it's interesting when you talk about Tatar and you talk about Ryan Reeves. And I'm oversimplifying things. When you score a goal in a game, obviously, everything that you did in that game is maybe heightened a little bit, and people read a little bit more into it. And maybe that's what's happening with Ryan Reeves. But what I'm saying is this. He has not cost this team any victories. He hasn't been the reason that they've lost games, and he was the reason that they won a very big game. So in that regard, I think Ryan Reeves has done a phenomenal job coming onto this team where he was maligned for a long time before we even got to the playoffs, had to sit at the beginning of the playoffs, which made a lot of sense because Will Carrier was the more attractive option.
Well, and Ryan Reeves told me himself, I sucked at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
They made the right decision in taking me out.
Absolutely. But he said something that I thought was really interesting in one of his scrums about how this team practices. Mm-hmm. He said, a lot of times you get bag skated because you're not playing, you're not a part of the drills, you're not a part of learning how to play the system. So you just get bag skated to stay in shape, and that's all it is. He's a part of every single drill. When these guys are in the lineup, when they're not in the lineup, they are still taking regular drills at every single practice. And we always ask ourselves in the media, like, hey, why is Oscar Lindberg jumping in for Tomáš Nosek and playing so well? Why is Ryan Reeves able to come in after not playing for 7-8 games, and all of a sudden he looks like he's finally, it's clicked how to play Golden Knights hockey? Because of how they practice.
Yep. When you watch a practice, you can't tell who the scratches are until the end, when all the players go off and the scratches stay on later. But while they're all out there, you cannot tell who the scratches are.
And I think that if that's not something that every single team is doing, it should be something that they do from here on out.
I agree.
Because Gerard Gallant's figured out a way to keep everybody ready and everybody competitive, and we've seen just what that's done for this team throughout this entire run in the postseason. David Perron can't play? Okay, well, Tomas Tatar, we know you're not going to get in on the fourth line. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But you'll probably get in on the second or third line because that's more in attuned to what you are as a player. Mm-hmm. And he comes up with a big goal. Was it the type of goal that Ryan Reeves scored? No. Was it a big goal? Yes. And you can kind of deal with Tatar being garbage right now because you know that maybe he'll have some change next year. Maybe he'll be better next year.
Yeah, you hope that with an off season he finds a line
And he's got to.
It's so different when you have an off season and you have a line going into a year than being thrown into a machine, because that's what the Golden Knights have been. They have been an absolute machine.
Right.
And to get thrown into that is tough.
So let's talk about machines. You played hockey the other night.
I did play hockey the other night.
How'd that go?
It was not good. Well, it was all right.
What do you mean it was not good? Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad, but like,
the hell is that?
It was bad, but considering I hadn't played in 2 weeks and I've been flying back and forth and everything.
Connor
and
Hellebuck over
I
here.
Come back,
my God.
There were a lot of lucky bounces. I
were
must
there?
Say.
Were there lucky bounces?
When I look on the other end, I saw a lot of posts.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
the stars
were aligning for the other team.
The only two things I have in common with playing goalie like Connor Hellebuck is, one, I'm awful at stick handling. And two, I'm good at making excuses for why I lost.
Okay, but here's the thing. With Hellebuck, what I found to be so funny is we had the play-by-play guy for the Winnipeg Jets on I think it was the Golden Knights Insider Show, one of the game days. And I asked him specifically, I'm like, hey, is there any concern with Connor Hellebuck when he comes out and plays the puck? Because every single time he does that, he gets out of his crease and then decides what he wants to do with the puck.
He's awful.
He has literally no idea what he's going to do with the puck until he touches it.
And most young goalies are bad at it, but he
makes really bad decisions.
Yeah.
Understand what your limitations
like
are.
Like, Fleury used to suck at playing the puck. Now he's probably a top five in the league at playing the puck.
Well, right, but Fleury didn't necessarily put his team in really difficult positions early on in his career.
It's funny because when I would tweet about a great play by Fleury, stick handling, I get, like, early in the year when the Golden Knights first started, I would tweet about, oh, what a great play by Fleury. And I even wrote a story about how important his play behind the net has been for breakouts and stuff. And I got so many Pittsburgh Penguins fans tweeting me saying, like, what in the hell happened? Because he was terrible here. Yeah. So you learn as you get better. And like looking forward to the Cup final, that is, Braden Holtby is the best stick handling goalie in the NHL. And he might be the best stick handling goalie since Martin Brodeur. He is, when I watch him play, it is just fascinating how good he is and how confident he is. The other night, he comes out to the faceoff circle to get a puck.
Yeah.
And most goalies, if you go that far out of your net to get a puck, it is an immediate throw it off the boards as hard as you can and get the hell back to your crease.
Sure.
He goes out, gets the puck, holds it, looks up the ice. An opposing player is flying at him. He fakes. He gives him a shoulder fake and holds it as the guy skates past him and then calmly throws it up the ice. Like, he is a third defender back there, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, Tampa had nothing on the forecheck, so it's not like they were going to get to him anyway.
This is true, and it's different against the Golden Knights, but I think Hellebuck was so bad that the Golden Knights could throw it behind the net and either we're going to get it back or he's going to give it back to us because he's awful.
Sure.
Whereas with Washington, if you throw it behind the net and Holtby gets to it, you might as well start skating back because he's not going to make a bad decision.
Well, you're going to see a lot of cross-zone dumps for sure. You're going to see a lot of trying to get the puck to just die in the corner where he can't play it.
Exactly.
That's what Vegas is going to do. They did it a lot to Braden Holtby earlier in the year. They did it a lot to Pekka, who is another goalie that is very good at playing the puck. So that's an adjustment that the Vegas Golden Knights, when they decide not to carry the puck in and dump the puck in, they're going to go cross zone and they're going to try to get it to die there in that corner.
You cannot let Holtby get on it.
Well, no, because it's going to cut your forecheck off, right?
He's so good at it. And that's a big difference. I mean, it's something that when you watch NHL.com and they're doing a series preview, they're never going to talk about the goalie behind the net. Like, that's why.
Well, X's and O's, Jesse. This is what people come to us for.
Yeah. X's and O's. That's what we're here for. No, but I'm serious. Like, that is a major,
huge.
It's like when you're in the neutral zone, you're flying. These guys are going 20 miles an hour. You have to make quick decisions. And when the most common decision, which is dumping it in along the boards, is now essentially taken out of your toolbox, it makes it harder on you.
Yeah, but I think we've seen Vegas play against, like I said, we've talked about Pecorino, we've talked about Braden Holtby, we've talked about guys that come out and play the puck and play it well. Vegas it's been very noticeable in those games that Vegas is conscious of not just dumping the puck in.
Well, and I think they're going to be able to carry it across the blue line.
I think they will too.
Much easier than they have in any of the first three series.
And so that's something that I wanted to get into. And I really want to get back to you being an awful goalie, but
oh, yeah.
I guess we'll kind of.
I lost.
Do you want? How many goals did you let in?
It was 6-5.
6-5. So, like, in ice hockey, that'd be what, like 3-2?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair.
Okay. So, comparison. So you weren't a sieve, but you weren't great.
I mean,
like if in the pantheon of awful goaltending that we've seen so far in the playoffs, would you say you were more Pekka, more Matt Murray, more Connor Hellebuck?
We'll go Hellebuck just because I'm good with the excuses and bad with the stick handling. We'll go Hellebuck. I'm not as bad as Matt Murray. Come on.
That's great. So outside of Hellebuck and making up excuses and Blake Wheeler saying that if we just play our game and we play that game 10 times, we'll win it 9 times. And then recognizing that they played it four games in a row and lost all 4 of them. Yeah. Is there anything you want to say about the Winnipeg Jets series? Anything that stands out? Anything that you think we can kind of take into the Stanley Cup Finals as maybe a takeaway for or against Vegas?
Okay. The Golden Knights have played in an environment that is on the level of these playoff environments all season long at T-Mobile. And this is the biggest compliment I can give Golden Knights fans. They have made it at T-Mobile to where the Golden Knights are so much better prepared mm-hmm. for crazy environments than every other team in the league because they've had it every single night. And when we went up to Winnipeg and that place was nuts, the crowd noise is equal to T-Mobile.
Sure.
T-Mobile's music is way louder. The bass is way louder. And T-Mobile is a much bigger arena. So it takes more noise to equal that. So I think the fans in Vegas are louder, but it mm-hmm. takes more noise to get T-Mobile loud because it's twice the size. Like, that arena is tiny.
Sure.
But anyways, they go in there. They get smoked in that first 5 minutes. And I thought, wow, here is a road environment that equals T-Mobile. And I just saw what happens to everyone that comes into T-Mobile.
Uh-huh.
I just saw that happen to the Golden Knights.
How close were you sitting to Pierre LeBrun when he was like, finally, the Winnipeg Jets are going to beat the crap out of the Vegas Golden Knights?
I was not that close Pierre. To him. No, but the best Pierre LeBrun Jackass. Moment of the Western Conference Finals was him singing Viva Las Vegas on his way to the Golden Knights locker room.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he was. He won a pool.
One of the Pierre LeBrun stories that I think was pretty funny is he went into the Vegas Golden Knights locker room after I think it was game 3.
And that was the one where he was singing.
Yeah, and there were just scrums everywhere, and he's just like, ah, shit, and walked away. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Love you, Pierre. We love Pierre. He's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of mine.
Yeah?
Well, I wouldn't say friend.
Friend?
I had beers with him in Winnipeg. He was a nice guy.
How did that go?
It was cool. It was me, Nick, and Pierre, a few other guys that I didn't know.
Did he talk to you about how he really wanted Winnipeg to be better than Vegas so that it would stop making everybody look ridiculous?
He did not say that. He seemed nice.
Oh.
I don't know. But anyways, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
He's fun to quote tweet. That's
anyways,
all.
So what my takeaway is that Washington is going to be about if T-Mobile's a 10 out of 10 on madness.
Scale, they're an 11 out
of 10. Okay, 11 out of 10. That's fair.
This one goes to 11.
That's fair. So yep. They're 11 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Winnipeg is a 10 out of 10 if T-Mobile's an 11.
Okay.
Washington's about a 3.5. It's just not the same.
No,
it's not.
It's not.
And San Jose was a 2 and LA was a -6. It was embarrassing. The city of Los Angeles should be embarrassed for that.
Yeah, LA was rough, man.
But anyways, I think part of the reason the Golden Knights are, what are they, 5-2 on the road?
6-2.
And they've closed out all 3 series on the road. I think it's because they are prepared to play in environments like that. And Washington coming in here, it's not Tampa Bay.
Have you pulled or looked up any of the quotes from Ovechkin from the time they went?
When he said it was a beach club.
You don't
right?
know or, if it's a nightclub or a pool party going on at the game. Like, this is going to be great. And so my takeaway from the Winnipeg series is that the Vegas Golden Knights just continue to play their style,
mm-hmm.
and it continues to be enough. Like, Winnipeg skated in transition for about 20 minutes in the first period of the first game, and they were able to force turnovers. They were able to get quality scoring chances on Marc-Andre Fleury. And then the Vegas Golden Knights clamped things down. They were taken aback, I think, at the beginning of that game. And then it was their series. I mean, they took the play to Winnipeg. Now, everyone's going to point out...
Those two third periods.
Right, but everybody's going to say, well, Winnipeg had the puck the entire time. They were in the offensive zone the entire time. They were skating circles around the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas was opportunistic. Be that as it may, Winnipeg had the possession, absolutely. But where were they with scoring chances?
Wow, those two third periods, they had like 15 good scoring chances, and they scored on none of them.
They had three good periods in five games.
Yeah, no, you're right. But when they did have a good period, Marc-Andre Fleury is just too good. He's the best player on the ice every single night. And in the finals, he's going to continue to be the best player on the ice every night.
Now, you don't see any regression for him in the finals.
No.
Why not?
Because this is Marc-Andre Fleury. He's been this all year. And this is... I got into a huge argument in a taxi ride in Winnipeg with Shang Peng. I felt so bad for the taxi driver.
Oh, no.
He probably was like, what in the actual hell is going on in the back of my taxi? I was going to fight Shang Peng.
Okay.
Because I hate the argument when people say, well, Winnipeg has been the better team other than the goalies. But, like, first off, I don't agree with that. But let's just for a second say that statement is correct.
Okay.
But I hate that argument because why without the goal? Why are you – what is the reasoning for taking the goalies out? He's part of the team, yeah. And if the Winnipeg Jets are better than the Golden Knights except for Marc-Andre Fleury, it doesn't matter. Because the Golden Knights do have Marc-Andre Fleury, and that makes them better than the Jets. And his argument to why you take the goalie out is because Fleury's playing over his head right now, and he's going to regress back to the norm. But he's playing at the norm right now. This is his norm. He's the best goalie in the league right now, at this very moment.
Hashtag unsustainable,
yeah.
Right?
I just don't get the, and Shang's argument is not only does he have to regress to average, he has to regress to below average in order to even out to make it back to the average, which is ridiculous. That's not going to happen.
I'm of your mindset with this, and I guess where I wanted to go with it from the Winnipeg series is a team defense that doesn't get a lot of credit, and that's what I was talking about. Winnipeg was content to dump the puck in. They were content to cycle down low. And what have we always said about the Vegas Golden Knights? If all five guys are in their own zone, it's a disaster. It was not a disaster against Winnipeg.
Especially the last game, especially game five.
They sorted out coverage really well. They communicated. They switched really well. They took away a lot of the seam passes. They took away the middle of the ice. I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights are only allowing 8.8 slot shots per game, mm-hmm. which is very good.
Yeah.
They're generating about 12.5 per game, so they're on the plus of that. But the point is, the Vegas Golden Knights are more than just a quick transition team that's relentless on the forecheck. They have added very good in their own defensive zone, very good team defense, very good at sorting things out, taking away the middle of the ice, and allowing their all-star elite goalie to see pucks. That is what they have done throughout the entire playoffs. They have made sure to take care of the middle of the ice. They pushed everything to the outside. It was easy to do against LA because they're slow, and that's the type of game they want to play. You saw San Jose get to the middle of the ice a little bit more, but then Vegas made adjustments and pushed
Fleury
them out.
And Fleury was spectacular.
And Fleury was spectacular. And then you saw Winnipeg. Winnipeg was able to do it for about 7.5 minutes in the first game. They were able to do it for some stretches in their games three and games four, but there wasn't any sustained pressure of getting chances from the slot. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me from Vegas, is if they can take care of the middle of the ice against Winnipeg, against San Jose, two high-powered offenses, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to do it against Washington.
Yeah, I think Winnipeg's offense is better than Washington's.
I do, too.
And I think their defense is better than Washington's.
I
think Winnipeg is better than Washington.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. I don't know that...
I think Holtby's going to play a lot better than Hellebuck did. I wouldn't say Holtby's a better goalie than Hellebuck. I think they're both really good goalies, but I think Holtby's going to play better than Hellebuck did in that.
So let's talk about Holtby for a minute, because if I'm watching the final two games of the Tampa Bay Washington series, I'm saying to myself, there's no way in hell Braden Holtby is going to escape any of these games with a shutout. And yet he did. Rebound after rebound after rebound after rebound. I mean, is the guy physically incapable of just having a puck hit him and die there. Like, he has zero rebound. Like, as good as he is playing the puck, he is he's that good, but awful, awful at controlling rebounds. It blows my mind.
He was bad in that series. I wouldn't say he's bad at controlling rebounds, like, in general, like, his play over his career. He's not Pecorine, who literally kicks it into the slot every time you fire a low shot. No, if you want...
Game 7, I mean, he was begging Tampa to score.
They didn't.
With all the... But, I mean...
I think Holtby's really good.
He's a good goalie, but I think he's awful when it comes to rebound control.
I mean, he's not... Like, Fleury swallows everything up. He's... Like, Fleury's one of the better. Even when in Pittsburgh... Like, his strengths is rebound control. Like, he's not that, and he's not Carey Price.
Yeah.
But,
like, my assessment of
he's
Holtby.
He's not Pecorine.
My assessment of Holtby is he's more comfortable reading plays that develop in his own zone than he is at reading plays off the rush.
Most goalies are.
But I think that there's a discrepancy between goals allowed on the rush versus goals allowed when there's sustained zone time for Holtby that I think is going to be a positive for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think that he's got really, really bad rebound control. I do.
We'll see. If I'll tell you this. If his rebound control is awful, and, like, let's just say, like, that's what costs the Capitals the Cup, Alex Tuch will have a bunch of goals. He is that guy. Alex Tuch is the guy who is waiting for the rebound off the goalie and puts it in. Like, that's what if there are putbacks off of rebounds,
there will be.
It's Alex Tuch.
Like, I don't think it'll be like 85% rebounds like he had in Game 7, but I think you're looking at probably 35-40% of the shots he's going to face are going to be kicked back out.
Tuch is salivating at the thought. If they're watching film and that's what they're deducting from it,
yeah.
Alex Tuch is like, let's go.
Tuck's got, what, like 6 goals, right? He's got six goals right now.
He's very good at
He's
the
been
playoffs.
Fantastic.
This kid is amazing.
I think Tuch will have 4 goals. Four.
Wow.
I'm putting 4 goals. 4 goals in the series.
Who has more goals in the series, Alex Ovechkin or Alex Tuch? Which Alex?
Tuch. I'm gonna go Tuch. Because
let's go.
I think Holtby's going to be what he is. I don't know.
See, I have much more confidence in Holtby.
I mean, the entire Capitals organization had no...
Yeah, they're idiots.
No hope in Holtby at all to start the playoffs.
That's why they've lost in the playoffs every year, because that organization...
He's been the guy.
I said it on the Golden Knights pregame show for the last couple regular season games. I was asked, who do you play, Grabauer or... Grubauer or Holtby.
You can't even pronounce his name.
Because he's awful. He's a backup goalie. He is a backup goalie.
Oh, it's great.
And the fact that you would even consider playing a backup goalie in the playoffs just because your Vezina winning goalie had a bad week.
I remember, is ridiculous. I remember the context of the conversation, because it was either you and I were on the Insider Show at the same time or whatever it was. But the question was, are the Capitals wrong for sticking with Philip Grubauer because he keeps winning games and Braden Holtby isn't winning games? And I was like, you can stay with Grubauer as much as you want to, but when you get to the playoffs, you're not going to do anything if it's not Braden Holtby.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, no, he's going to get you there. I'm like, he might, but he's not going to get you far.
No, to win a Stanley Cup, you have to have great goaltending. That's the case now. It's just like in football, you have to have great quarterbacking to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, a team comes by with a garbage quarterback and wins one. But that's like once in like every like 20 years. And like the same thing in hockey. Like, you need great goaltending in the Stanley Cup playoffs to win a cup. And you're not going to get great goaltending on a cup run with Grubauer. With Holtby, you might. You might not, but you might. There is at least a chance he will get you to a cup. There's no chance Grubauer gets you to a cup. And he proved that by losing the first 2 games in against Columbus, who then Holtby came in and won 4 straight against.
I mean, you can say all you want to that you need great goaltending to win a Stanley Cup, but Matt Murray has 2 of them.
Yeah, but Fleury got him there. Did he not? Did Fleury not get them to the cup? He didn't play a second until the cup final last year.
I don't know if everybody can figure this out, but Jesse does not like Matt Murray.
No. I really like Marc-Andre Fleury, though. Found out where he gets his haircut today.
Yeah, I know. Do you want to share that on the podcast? It's not going to be an exclusive, but we can throw it out there. Are you thinking of going and getting the Marc-Andre Fleury special? It'll bring your goals against average down from like 8 to, I don't know, 4.
Hey, if it'll cut my GAA in half, I will get Marc-Andre Fleury's haircut.
While you're thinking about, you want to do it?
Yeah. So he goes to Avita in downtown Summerlin. He told me he normally gets his haircut on the road.
Sure.
But when he does get his haircut in town, it is at Avita in downtown Summerlin. The reason I asked this weird ass question.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that.
So I'm doing a Q&A with the Las Vegas Sun on Facebook. It'll already be up by the time this podcast is up, so you can go watch it on there if you want on the Las Vegas Sun's Facebook.
But, a ton of really good questions too.
Yeah, it was great.
Yep.
I got some good ones and some not so good ones and some interesting ones like. Jesse, my son has been to like 3 different places trying to get Marc-Andre Fleury's haircut, and they keep screwing it up. Can you ask Fleury where he gets his haircut so that my son can match his haircut, which is weird as hell, but I am a reporter, and my job is to deliver the news to the people. What do they want to know? I will find it out. So what did I do? I walked in. Ask Marc-Andre Fleury where he gets his haircut. Got you an answer. Avita, downtown Summerlin. Everybody go in and ask for the Marc-Andre Fleury special.
Is that like actually a cut now? Like
I don't know. He told me he doesn't remember the woman who cuts his hair. He couldn't think of it at the time. But she has tattoos on her arms.
Oh,
so just look for the sleeves and say you want the flower special.
My favorite question that you ended up getting was somebody tagging Nate Schmidt and asking Nate, is there anything you want to say to your formal teammates?
Formal?
Yeah, formal. I mean, obviously, former is what this person on Twitter was going for. But my point is, I like it when you say, hey, guys, I'm a reporter, and I'm going to do a Q&A. Ask me anything. And then someone's like, oh, cool. This is a forum to bring in the player. Hey, Nate Schmidt. Screw this Jesse guy. Hashtag suck it Granger. I want to ask you a question about your formal teammates. That was my favorite. That was my absolute favorite. So let's talk about the Stanley Cup Finals and how incredibly stupid and ridiculous it is that the Vegas Golden Knights in their inaugural season have home ice advantage. It's crazy.
Game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, T-Mobile Arena. What is it? 8 months. 8 months ago, they had the expansion draft where this team picked its players.
Mm-hmm.
Eight months later, they are playing in the Stanley Cup Final, Game One.
Well, yeah.
That's insane. I'm writing something for. I guess I can talk about it now. It'll be.
This will be up tomorrow.
This story will probably be the day after that. Will come out the day after that. How ridiculous is it that fans are having to choose whether they want to buy a new jersey to get the Stanley Cup patch on it or have the inaugural season patch torn off of their jersey to replace it with a Stanley. Just how ridiculous is that, that is a decision you have to make? Do I want my expansion team patch or my Stanley Cup final patch? I feel like that problem that people are having is like, epitomizes this entire season, just how ridiculous it is that people are having to choose whether they want their Stanley Cup final or their inaugural season patch.
I mean, it's Vegas world problems, right?
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy. And so I want to talk about that because I find it really funny on Twitter when people say that Vegas, quote, doesn't deserve this. My thought process is Vegas as a city may not in your eyes deserve this more than say Vancouver or more than say Toronto or whatever. And I'm highlighting Canadian cities because it's mainly Canadians that are bitching about this, but every single one of those players in that locker room has earned this right. The cup isn't awarded on who's deserving. It's awarded on who's earned it. And lastly, if you have a major problem with an expansion team coming in here, picking, in most cases, the 7th or 8th best player on every other team and figuring out a way in a system of bringing all these guys together, having some guys overperform, maybe some guys just weren't valued correctly in their systems. You bring all this stuff together, and then they've figured out a way to win hockey games and get to this point when your team has been doing things the same way for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, whatever it is.
51 years.
51 years, St. Louis.
No, that's Toronto.
That's Toronto. Well, that's also St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, I don't know how many years it is.
It's been a long time.
Toronto hasn't been to a cup final in 51 years.
But if you're this up in arms about it because Vegas, quote, doesn't deserve it, maybe, just maybe, you should take a look at your GM. You should take a look at your head coach. You should take a look at your overpriced players that are playing on your team that can't figure out how to get it done. And maybe you should say they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. If you're a general manager of any team not named Vegas, with the exception of maybe the Washington Capitals because they're playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, if you're sitting there saying, why do I still have a job? You should, if you're not saying that, you should be. You should be, because there's no reason why an expansion team should have come in here, had 109 points, home ice for the first two rounds, a division title, a Western Conference title, and four wins away from the Stanley Cup when you're sitting there, Gar Snow, and you're still doing stuff for the Islanders. It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
I completely agree with everything you just said, and I just to highlight the part about when people say Vegas doesn't deserve a Stanley Cup,
mm-hmm.
if you're one of those people, your idea of what makes you deserve a Stanley Cup is wrong. Because if all you had to do to win a Stanley Cup was suffer, then how would they hand out any Stanley? Like, what about the first Stanley Cup? Like, nobody suffered. Like, how many years do you have to suffer in order to deserve a Stanley Cup? And in that case, how could that even pop? Like, I don't even see how in a world that could happen to where, like, the team that has suffered the most always wins the cup, because then nobody would suffer. Like, that is just the worst argument of all time. You have to, and let's go even further. Let's just say your idiotic idea of how you deserve a cup is right. Let's just say, okay, you're clearly an idiot, but let's just pretend for a second that you're right.
Yep.
You must suffer. Is the city of Las Vegas never having a major professional team and all the people that have grown up here their entire lives never having a team to call their own, mm-hmm. is that not suffering?
I think it is.
And they've been so close to trying to get a team so many times, and they've had so many arenas that were going to be built and so many stadiums that were going to be built, and they fell through at the last second. And everyone here has had to latch on to some team that they have no connection with.
Right.
How is that not suffering?
And it's a great point that you bring up, because I'm from L.A., so there were teams just there for the taking for me,
mm-hmm.
my entire life.
And I'm from Denver, and it was the same thing for me.
Same thing for you. I don't think people really understand that, yes, the fan base is big and the fan base has grown exponentially because this team is good. Yes, that is a true statement. You're absolutely right. Is the fan base going to be as big as it is if they weren't very good this year? Probably not. But it's still going to be there, and it's still going to be impressive, because it's not necessarily about the sport and it's not necessarily about how good the team is. It's like you just said. People in this city, because Vegas actually is a city where there's suburbs and schools and parks and children that grow up, and it's not just the strip.
Mm-hmm.
This is a microcosm of the city. Having a professional sports franchise to call your own brings that worldview into Vegas as more than just the strip.
I had a tweet that blew up. Because people just loved it.
Yeah.
When I flew back in from Winnipeg, we landed, and I want to say for the last 50 years, every plane that has ever landed in the city of Las Vegas, all of them, and we're talking thousands a day,
mm-hmm.
land in Las Vegas. Every single one of them, when the pilot gets on the intercom, it's going to be a joke about gambling, about getting drunk, about losing your money. The welcome to lost wages is
yep.
the thing.
Yep.
It's always about the strip, always. And that is what Vegas is seen as. And people here in town have never had an identity other than, because that has nothing to do with me. I don't work in the casino. It's got nothing to do with me.
Right.
But that's the image of Las Vegas. We landed in a plane full. The plane had Winnipeg Jets. Or no, I'm sorry. That was the flight before that. So it didn't. That one didn't have. But the plane before that, the connecting flight did have Winnipeg Jets rally towels on the seats. But anyways, mm-hmm. we land in Las Vegas, and the pilot says, "Welcome to Las Vegas, home of our Vegas Golden Knights." Yep. And I tweeted out, "Holy shit, this city's different."
Yeah.
That right there, what you just said, mm-hmm. that right there is a perfect representation of how different this city is and what the Golden Knights have done for this city. And all these people that have been looking for something to represent Las Vegas other than a craps table finally have something. And if you can say that that's not suffering, but I would argue that it is.
I think it absolutely is.
Yeah.
And just the ability to have something to call your own and something to look past all the reasons why you hear, oh, you don't want to raise a family there. It's so much more than just sport.
Yep. And plus the fact that I think that the argument of you have to suffer to deserve it is stupid anyways. I think you deserve to win a Stanley Cup if your owner makes great business decisions, your GM makes great personnel decisions, your coach makes great strategical decisions, and your players make great decisions with the puck. And all of those have happened in Vegas more than any other team in the NHL except for Washington, who we're going to find out who does it better over the next 2 weeks.
And the long and the short of it is, if you're a fan of any of the other 29 teams in this league that aren't here in this position right now, and you're upset that Vegas is here, you need to ask yourself why that is. Because it has nothing to do with Vegas, and it has everything to do with your supporting a franchise that is not doing everything that they can to win hockey games.
Look at Florida. They fired Gerard Gallant for absolutely no reason. They traded Riley Smith because they didn't want to pay $5 million a year. It was not about winning.
No. Had nothing to do with it.
And they didn't want to pay Jonathan Marchessault a big contract, and they knew he was going to leave in free agency, so they left him exposed in the expansion draft. That's just one example, but
we can go on forever.
Yeah, but if you're a Panthers fan, it's like, why? Why did we not try it with these guys?
There should be zero attendance at Panther games. Like, and I'm not saying that an NHL franchise should fold, but I mean, you have to say, what the hell did we do, and why did we do it?
And they have so much talent on that team, too.
And if you sit there and you're a fan of that team, how can you have any faith that when the GM tells you, we want to win a Stanley Cup, our goal is to bring a Stanley Cup to Florida? No, it's not. No, it isn't. Stop lying. Stop lying. A general manager that doesn't want to win a Stanley Cup, and a general manager that, depending on how you look at this series, is kind of involved in the making and the building of both teams, so he should probably get a ring anyways. George McPhee. Yeah. How freaking weird is this 2.5 week period going to be for George McPhee?
So awkward.
It's got to be, right?
So here's my analogy, and it's not exactly the same. This might actually be weirder, the McPhee thing, but in 2002, I think it was, the Raiders traded head coach John Gruden to the Buccaneers.
Okay.
You never trade coaches in the NFL, but they did. And then the following year, John Gruden led the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl against the Raiders, the team he coached and built. And if anyone remembers that Super Bowl, which as a Broncos fan, I remember that Super Bowl very fondly, because the Raiders got the absolute snot kicked out of them for 60 minutes, just destroyed. And the narrative of that was, well, Gruden knew all the players. Of course he knew how to game plan. He knew every weakness of every player because he built that team. And he just simply told the Raiders how to exploit the Buccaneers, how to exploit the Raiders' weaknesses, and they dismantled them. The Raiders had the best offense in the entire NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think they scored like one touchdown, and they threw like three pick sixes. The defense for the Buccaneers scored more than the number one scoring offense. Anyways, now going back to hockey.
Hockey.
What is different about this? I asked Gallant today, how much involvement does George McPhee have on game planning for a team? And does
his answer was great.
Does the fact that he knows everything about every player on this team help? And of course, Gallant gave he has no impact. He has no say. He has nothing to do with it. It's all the coaches. But it's not like we're not going to ask him about players. I'm like, oh, so he does have involvement then. Like, he literally told me, he has no involvement, but I mean, we're going to ask him about players.
Yeah.
Oh, so he does have involvement. So that whole first part before the but meant nothing.
Yeah,
yes.
No.
So George McPhee is absolutely telling. Look, I'm telling you right now. I know George. You know George.
You know George.
We know George.
Very well. Yeah.
There is no human being on this earth that has studied why the Capitals have failed more than George McPhee. When he was without a job for that period of time between Washington and then he kind of hopped on with the Islanders a little bit.
Yep.
He got fired for a team that went to the playoffs every single year and just couldn't do it. I can imagine that every waking hour, what George McPhee is thinking is, what are we doing wrong?
Right.
He has studied the flaws of the Washington Capitals more than any human being on earth. That's got to be worth something.
I think George McPhee, I don't want to say he's the key to this series, but we've seen this storyline time and time again. Braden McNabb scores the goal to eliminate the LA Kings.
George McPhee game winner.
Well, no, okay, it'll be okay, no, okay. It'll be Nate Schmidt.
Yeah,
but my point is, right? Why wouldn't the ultimate series, the ultimate end to the final series of this season for the Vegas Golden Knights? Why wouldn't it be Washington?
As storybook as this.
Like, how did we expect it to be anything different?
Yeah, well, when I was on the radio a couple days ago and someone asked me, like, how crazy is it that Ryan Reeves scores the game-winning goal? I'm like, not crazy at all. That's exactly what should have happened.
It was going to be him or Eakin.
it was one of those two guys.
Yeah,
that's what Perron told us the day before. He's like, it's going to be one of those two, of course, because they're the Winnipeggers. Yeah.
And Nate Schmidt was asked today. He was asked how awkward this is going to be for George, and his answer was great. He said, he's a misfit, just like all of us. Like, we fail to remember that George McPhee was fired from the Washington Capitals in spite of the fact that they just couldn't beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it sucks that they couldn't beat that team. And it sucks that they would have to play that team in the second round every year because the NHL playoff format is stupid and it doesn't make any sense. But it just is what it is. If they didn't have to play the Penguins, they'd probably have three Stanley Cups by now.
Yeah.
That's just fact, right? George wants this series so bad.
Oh, I mean, it's not close. If you were to make a power ranking of, like, who in the franchise wants this the most, like, I think Jonathan Marsh is way up there because he's just a feisty little dude. But
he's great.
But McPhee is definitely on the top of the list. Like, he cannot lose to Washington.
And I think this is the best part about this series. And I know that a lot of people wanted Vegas to be the prevailing storyline when it came to the Stanley Cup final. I think it's a good thing that it isn't. I think it's a good thing that there's going to be a ton of eyes on Alexander Ovechkin and what he's going to do in his first Stanley Cup final appearance. And my God, if he's a -2 and he doesn't have a shot on goal in the first game, then it's like, oh, Alex Ovechkin, I can't figure out what Fleury. He just can't solve Marc-Andre Fleury, and maybe it wasn't the Penguins. Maybe it was Fleury. And you're right, right? But my point is, if the Washington Capitals drop game one, there's going to be 10 times the amount of pressure on them to bounce back in game two than there would be if Vegas drops game one.
I agree.
It's not even close.
I agree. The Golden Knights have kind of been playing with house money the whole season, and it's funny because they're the favorites, but there is more pressure on Ovechkin and the Caps than there are on the Golden Knights.
So my question to you is this, because I think we're getting up against it because you've got to go do like reporter things or whatever. Who wins the series?
Golden Knights in five.
Golden Knights in five. Now, Ken from Sinbin was trying to get you into the sweep. Why don't you think it's going to be a sweep?
I just think sweeps are very rare for a reason, because hockey is a game decided on very few plays. It's not like basketball where you need 50 lucky bounces to win a basketball game, because if you get three lucky bounces, okay, big deal. You're up 6-0. Like, that's gone in a second. Mm-hmm. In hockey, it's a game decided on three or four plays. And in a game that's the essence of the game, it's hard to beat a team that's really good. The Capitals are a really good team. Mm-hmm. It's hard to beat a team four times in a row. I think the Golden Knights are significantly better than the Washington Capitals. I don't think it's close. I think the Golden Knights are the better team. I don't think a sweep's going to happen. I think it's more likely going to go six than it is to be a sweep, mm-hmm. but I'm picking five.
I like Vegas in six just because I don't think they're going to win at home for whatever reason. I don't think they're going to close them out in five. I think Ovechkin's going to be good for at least a win. I think Holtby's going to be good for at least a win. So there's two right there. I don't think that...
They need Kuznetsov so bad.
They absolutely do. They need Tom Wilson to play within himself and not be an idiot, and I don't know if that's a thing that could actually happen for him.
By the way, if Ryan Reeves plays and he fights Tom Wilson, it doesn't matter what happens in the fight or who lands punches. That's a win for Vegas mm-hmm. every single time.
And I think... We were having this discussion in practice today. I don't know that Ryan Reeves is going to be looking for a fight with Tom Wilson. I do believe in my heart that Tom Wilson is going to be looking for a fight with Ryan Reeves.
Which is perfectly fine.
Which is the dumbest thing in the world, and I don't understand
it. He's an idiot. That's
because
he's an idiot.
Stupid. But that is absolutely what I think is going to happen. Tom Wilson's like, oh, I'm Tom Wilson, man. I can score goals, and I can beat people up. I'm going to take you, Ryan Reeves. He's a fourth-line guy. He's a fourth-line guy. Like, he fought Braden Coburn, for Christ's sake, in a game that they were up 1-0. What are you
doing? In game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals.
He took himself off the ice for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Seven? No. It was seven because it was 2 minutes for the coincidentals mm-hmm. before. It was 5 minutes. That's seven. And they didn't get out of the box until another minute and a half after.
Because of the stoppage of play,
game time, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And I don't know if Wilson is thinking that now, but the first big hit Ryan Reeves lays on someone,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's immediately going to think, all right, don't worry, guys, I got him.
And it's so dumb, too, because it's like the people defending Tom Wilson for defending the honor of Evgeny Kuznetsov because he had his jersey ripped off and should have been a game misconduct right there,
yeah,
but it wasn't.
So much for that fight strap.
Yeah, it's fine. Never mind the rule book or anything.
Yeah.
But my point is, right, like... Defending him for what? Like, that was worth coincidentals for roughing and then a five-minute major for fighting?
You're a first-line winger.
First-line player?
So as Golden Knights fans, if that ever happens, that is an automatic win for the Golden Knights. If you can trade your... This is going to sound harsh. I have softened on the Ryan Reeves stance, but he is...
You said you were wrong.
He is the most useless offensive player on the team.
He scored a goal.
Yeah, but he's the most useless offensive player on the team. If you can trade that guy... For their top line winger for 5 minutes.
I'm so mad.
You do it every single time.
I'm so mad we didn't get Ryan Reeves in here for that.
Oh, I'd love Ryan Reeves.
God,
Ryan Reeves would have said that before me. That's the great thing.
Maybe at the beginning of the play, he wouldn't say that now.
Yes, he would.
Not right now. Yes, he would. I don't think so. I don't agree.
He joked after the game, that's my first goal in 3.5 months. Probably won't score another one. Like Ryan Reeves knows what he. That's the greatest thing. Is like Ryan Reeves agrees more with me on Ryan Reeves than he does on the Ryan Reeves fan club. Like he actually is closer to my side of things.
That Ryan Reeves fan club is pretty awesome.
It's great.
It's great.
No, but like Ryan Reeves knows what he is, and that's why he's such an awesome guy. I love Reeves. But yeah, if you can trade your fourth line, the guy that is least likely on your team to have an offensive impact,
for
their top line winger.
Take it every time.
So yeah. Ryan Reeves can fight him 1,000 times in the series, and it'll be better for the Golden Knights.
Completely agree. I like Vegas in six. I think Washington is kind of scrappy. They've got a little bit of that pushback that we haven't seen in years past. Bounces have been going their way. I don't really subscribe to the whole bounces have to go your way thing. I think you make your own luck just mm-hmm. by virtue of how you play the game, what your systems are. I think Vegas is going to be able to figure out a way to get through the neutral zone against Washington because the assessment that I made about Tampa is that they're talented but lazy. Vegas is talented and they work really damn hard because they don't think they're talented. So I don't think that you're going to be able to shut down the Carlson line. I don't think that you're going to be able to shut down Alex Tuck, James Neal, and Eric Hall. Hall is way too fast. He's going to get in on the forecheck. Mm-hmm. Tuck's going to cause some major issues for whichever defensive pairing he's going up against because you know that Carlson's going to be playing against the Marchessault line. I don't think Brooks Orpik is going to be very good for the Washington Capitals. I think he's going to be exposed quite often.
I think Schmidt is going to have a great matchup against whoever, whether it's Ovechkin or whoever he's going against. He's practiced against these guys a million times.
Oh, yeah,
he knows all their tendencies. He knows which way they like to go. He knows when they liked, if he can tell when a guy,
he's going to pick up on a lot.
Twists his glove a certain way, he's about to fire his shot. Like, Schmidt is going to be great in this series.
Andre Burakovsky on the third line, heating up, scoring two goals, that kind of scares me a little bit.
They have a good third line.
Because if he catches fire and he starts to score, that might be something that you look at. However, David Perron brings a little bit more finish to that third line for the Vegas Golden Knights, so that one might be a wash. And then you look at the fourth line, I don't think either one's going to light the lamp very often, but it is going to be interesting which of those two lines can create the territorial advantage. I like Vegas, but I also really like Washington's fourth line. I think that's kind of a wash too. But yeah, Vegas in six. We will be back.
Flurry for the Conn Smythe. They can't win and him not win the Conn Smythe. That's physically impossible. It cannot be
done. Unless Marchie goes off. I mean, goes off in this series.
I still think it's Flurry.
I don't think you're wrong. I think that there might be a push for Marchie if he ends up going off and finishes the playoffs with, I don't know, like 28, 29 points, something like that, which would be like a 10-point series for him. But
I think if it's a competitive series, say it goes seven, and the Capitals win, I still think Fleury. Unless Ovechkin scores like five goals in the finals,
so you think it's going to be?
Still think Fleury.
You think it's going to be the Jaguar?
Yeah,
the Jaguar thing.
He's been better than Jaguar was.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree.
This is one of the best goaltending performances in the playoffs in NHL history.
Okay, so there are picks. Obviously, we got into a little bit of it, not too much of the X's and O's, but there's just so much going on with this story and the storyline surrounding everything.
We had some good X's and O's.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is we're going to put this one out. Obviously, this will be your intro to the series. We'll be back after games one and two. Thank God the NHL decided to put two days in between travel games. Yep. So that's nice. That'll allow us a little bit more freedom to get some of these episodes out. But we will be back with another episode in series. And then obviously, depending on how long the series goes, maybe two of them one to kind of salute hashtag cup in one. Right?
Yep, and then we'll do one from atop a float driving down the Las Vegas Strip.
So we're going to have to make sure that they put us on the same float so that we can do a live Rink Rats with Jesse Granger and Ryan Reeves.
I hope I'm on Ryan Reeves' float.
I want to be on Reeves' float. That'd be great. Like Pierre-Edouard Belmar will come over and be like, you were totally wrong about this guy. Best teammate I've ever had in my entire life.
He is a good teammate.
He's a great teammate. He scored a big goal.
He did.
All right, Jesse, what are you working on?
Oh, man. So whether you want to read my crap or not, I know you want the Las Vegas Weekly that is on shelves today, which is now yesterday.
Is that the RJ book or no?
No.
No.
That is not the RJ book. Cut that part out. I don't even want those two letters in my podcast. So Weekly is Jonathan Marchessault on the cover. Go Knights, go. It's a Stanley Cup final edition. The cover is sweet. The art is sweet. The story inside is the top 10 moments of the season, written by me, if you want to read that. But
how can you do a top 10 moments without the Stanley Cup?
Well, it's the top 10 moments to get to this point. Come on. And we will have another issue out next week. Whether they win or lose the Stanley Cup, we will have another Golden Knights special edition Las Vegas Weekly that will have a bunch of other stuff. In addition, it'll have my story with the keeper of the cup, which is like just a cool thing about like weird stuff that people can.
Asked him about superstition, right?
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. And also the best moment for every single player on the roster. It's like 16 pages of Golden Knights stuff. So
look at you.
Yeah. So, And obviously all my stuff on Las Vegas. There will not be a day where I don't have a story on LasVegasSun.com. I have been told we are not allowed to have a day go by without a Golden Knights story on there because people love this stuff. So that plus the weekly. Just make sure they're free. Just go pick them up at like grocery stores or whatever. They're awesome.
And where can people find you on Twitter?
At @JesseGranger_.
Really quick, I know you got to get out of here, but did you see Myrtle's tweet last night?
No.
Okay, so he tweeted out everybody that killed George McPhee for the Philip Forsberg trade didn't realize it was a long game move.
Yeah, so that they don't have to deal with him on this.
Phenomenal.
I've said it before, George McPhee's a genius.
I
great trade.
I quote tweeted that and said, I'd have paid money for that. You should have saved it for the Athletic piece.
There you go.
You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Hockey Guy. Again, it's at Jesse Granger _ for Jesse. We will be back next week to recap games 1 and 2, look ahead to games 3 and 4, and let you know when the parade should be coming to Vegas.